It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between him.
Look at Radek. He dropped the gloves with Rivers. The referee or the linesman should jump in here. You can't let a guy like Rivers continue to throw punches.
Federico stolen from Reinhardt. Breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting. Rebound. Recognizer scores!
Here comes Shovel Day. He'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Shovel Day, and the two goalies go at it. Head to head. And Joseph with three great rights.
Turgeon to Hall, looking for 500. He shoots. He scores! Brett Hall, number 500.
Tarasenko in the clear. He scores! Get up, St. Louis. Get on your feet. They did it. It's over. The game is over. The series is over. The wait is over. And the St. Louis Blues are the Stanley Cup champions for the first time in franchise history.
Hello, Blues fans, and welcome to a very special edition of your Blues NHL podcast. I'm your off-ice official, Jim Cromer, coming to you from the SynergyHockeySkills.com studios. I want to thank them for their continued support, especially with it getting close to holiday time. It's time for those holiday camps, and the gentleman that's going to be running those holiday camps that I think we forgot what he looked like is back in studio today. So let's not mess around. Let's bring in. Where's he at this week, Kimby? Is he big time or is he media darling?
I tell you what, I brought my notebook today.
Yeah.
this is big time, and I want to see how big time works.
Yeah, he's back.
I heard the value of the real estate was going down over here. I figured I'd make a trip, you know?
I'm trying to figure out like how this works in radio. Did he call in sick?
It's like,
bubonic plague? Because, I mean...
That's got the Roger Clemens deal. Yeah. I only work certain days, certain games, home games
home
only.
Home games only.
You know he's big time when the limo pulls up and drops
him. I was going to say, yeah. You were searching for a spot out there and you come in.
Double park, too. Fuck
you,
that.
Hey, I was going to say, you miss the F-bombs, don't you, a little bit?
I love dropping fuck.
There we go.
We had one moment, though, on the air not too long ago where... my sidekick Anthony Stalter over at 101, and Mike Ryder.
Name dropping.
I'm
just kidding.
So people know what I'm talking about. And Mike Ryder, who works the board, is a phenomenal board operator. I said shit. I said something. They asked me a question about the Blues, and I went, "Oh shit!" And they're like, "Ugh!" They panicked. They're like hitting every button in the studio, and I'm followed up. I go, "Shit!" And then I go, shoot. And I go, you know, Mike Schilt.
That's pretty good. That's not bad.
You should hear the clip of it. It's hilarious.
Well, we're glad to have you back because all hell's breaking loose in the NHL and with the world, really. And I know the conversation started to head there before we even got going this morning.
Well, I want to know what you did to fuck up everything. I didn't have a chance to listen to the last podcast yet.
Yeah,
I will because I have to. Now my interest has been sparked, but... What the fuck did you say? Everybody's all over you now for goalie equipment. You're fighting with Hendu. You're fighting with listeners.
Well, okay. What? So here's a little background.
Brief
for
me
you.
On
well,
this.
Well, number
a little
one,
bit.
If you don't know Hendu, you know, obviously we've been best friends for a long, long time. He'll argue with a wall. Like, these walls are gray, right? Okay. No, they're not. No, they're not. That's not gray. That's more of a, you know, he's that guy, right?
Yeah.
So he and I talk all the time about the game and the things that we like. So. I don't know, a few weeks ago, like all the stuff that's been going on with the hits and stuff, I just basically said, everybody acts like they're doing all this for the betterment of the game. I don't think the game's any better. That's all I said. Like, I would rather go back and watch it in the 90s. I thought it was the best period of hockey that I've ever seen.
I don't disagree.
Okay. So we started talking about ways to improve the game, and I said, well, the number one thing you can do is these goalies don't have to wear massive equipment. I don't really care. The bottom line is this, he wants to argue because something's written somewhere. And I've told him off the air, I said, listen, you can tell me whatever you want to tell me. It's like anything else. These guys steadily push the envelope for years and years and years. And then finally, a few years ago, the NHL said, we got a little bit of a problem. So let's put something on the books. But like I told him, I think the best example I used was, listen, it's like me saying to you, okay, I gained 40 pounds, but then I lost 10, so I lost weight. No, I didn't. I gained 30 pounds. Well, these guys have bigger equipment. Now, the problem is all the young people are chirping and going, are you crazy? These guys have to use equipment. And I go, well, number one, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know. They have vests that you can wear under a sport coat that can stop a bullet. So if they really want to make some equipment.
Yeah, but it still hurts like fuck. I'll tell you that much.
Well, okay, but everything hurts, right?
I mean, not that I know.
Okay, but I know, but everything hurts, right? It's my point. Listen, the gist of it is this. You're an idiot if you don't think that, especially the professional goaltenders at the time, didn't enlarge their stuff to cover more space.
Well, of course they did. Do you remember Garth Snow? He had fucking flaps coming out of his ear holes to fucking cover the top shelf.
So that's all I said. And he's like, turn it. So then we start talking about goals. And I said, well, scoring's not up. Oh, yes, it is. So the mathematician who tries to call me out tells me to get a calculator, and he's telling me how they've never scored more goals. I said, there's nine more teams. Go back to average goals per team. It's down 30 a team.
So, okay. So
that's it. That's all I said.
Before you bore me to death.
And I wanted the fighting. And I want the fighting back.
Okay.
That's it.
All right. Well,
that's
going to
happen. So
let's do this in stages.
That's all it was.
Because right now you're foaming at the sides of your mouth.
Yeah, but I'm 3-0.
Okay. Your goaltender issue. What is your alt at the end of it? Because I've tried to follow this on Twitter, and you guys have got ADD of the fucking situation, I think.
I just want the upper body to not be so bulbous.
So then what's...
Oh. Let's get a few...
That's the first time he didn't like anything bulbous,
Let's get a few... Hey, all I'm saying is I just want to see a few more goals to excite the game.
So what's your solution then?
Well, either one of two things. Either let's bring the equipment back a little bit without hurting them.
Okay, but here's your problem, okay? And Kimby, you'll be able to shed some light on this too, because we both coach youth hockey at the 15 and 16 level. The shooting that these kids can do now is harder than it's ever been. Now, hang on, you had your soapbox. Hang on a second. So the goal is by trimming it down. I agree. They can take some of the girth
out of it.
Then what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to add front to back padding.
I'm okay with
that. You have to make that thick. It's going to be more inhibiting to the goalie. And you're going to get pushback from who? Who are you going to get pushback from? I'm letting you answer if you
The goalies are going to be upset.
Okay, what are they part of? The NHLPA, right? Wow. And the NHLPA runs in direct partnership of the NHL, which right now the NHLPA is not going to stand on a fucking soapbox, nor is the NHL, to argue over this. When they've had so many work stoppages in the past, this is going to stay status quo.
Well, and number one, I've never expected anybody to take my opinion and do anything with it.
No,
I'm just
but I don't
you
think you're
I
wrong.
See. Yeah,
okay. I don't think you're wrong, but I think there's more to.
Oh, and I understand that
it's harder to get to where you want to be right now based on all the fucking red tape it's got to go.
Well, then it's not that hard. Sense? Well, then it's not that hard. Just increase the size of the goal an inch each way.
We spent fucking 7 minutes on this show talking about fucking goaltenders.
Yeah.
I'm off. Hey, okay.
But
we can talk about the rest of it.
But here's what he did. He texted me in the middle of the night when shit was going on. He was looking for friends. He wanted some help.
Well, I got no friends.
Because everybody acts like I'm...
Let me talk. You're too fired up. So he was looking for a friend. And I texted him back, and he was the one kid that he was talking about, and that was throwing a bunch of fucking numbers at him. So he's pretty well got him fucked from the get-go, because he's beating him in the IQ tester. So I told him,
ahead on that before
I'm
it started.
A little smarter than you think.
And I told Cromes,
Bob.
I said, the guy you're talking with here right now, he's firing all his analytics shit. Yeah, you get the hell out of the conversation. You're not going to win.
Can't win that one.
You know, because they're going to come with numbers that you can't even, you don't even know what he's talking about by the time it's over.
And in the end, the truth of the matter is, this is why I just kind of, I don't need any help in the argument. You can take a picture of a goalie, take a picture of a new one.
I'll tell you what the goalie situation is. So you're looking for goals, but don't just start at the goal. Don't go to the goaltender's equipment room. Look at the shit. Look at the guys in front of them that are playing. Everybody sits in front and blocks a shot now. Back in the day, you had to know how to block a shot because you weren't wearing the equipment that the guys are wearing now.
Well, and I said
now
that.
Everybody has this. You want to talk about stuff that bullets go through. Well, if Al MacInnis was taking a shot back when I played, there might be one guy that might go out, like Richie Pilon, the craziest prick that I've been. He'd probably put his face in front of it or something. But you needed to know how to block it. Don't start to quit.
No.
You needed to know how to block a shot. And it was an art at one point. Now, they wear this equipment that you can just skate in front of this stuff, and it ain't going to hurt you. And so there's a starting point for you,
right,
too.
Well, and listen, and in the end, the only thing that I really wanted to argue about was the theory of that they shoot harder. And I go, okay, the new sticks. Okay, that's great. So everything's relative. So you're telling me in 1990-something when Al MacInnis was shooting 102, okay, yeah, and now the guys are shooting 105.
Problem is more guys now are shooting. Okay, Al used to be one of the only guys. Him, Iafredi, and a couple other guys around the league could really fucking drop the bomb. But now every team has a couple of guys.
And I understand that. But if the equipment was good enough to stop Al at the time...
It wasn't.
What do you mean it wasn't?
They had a fucking foam chest protector at the time. You don't think those guys were dying in there? Maybe that's why they're jumping out of the way, fuck's sake.
To my knowledge, nobody died. Nobody... I mean,
that's one position, though, when you're talking about goaltenders, you go back as far as you want, and the players have gotten bigger, faster, and all that. The one position I don't think has really changed... Because Martin Brodeur... Patrick Waugh, Eddie Belfour, all these guys could play in this fucking game now.
Sure.
Yeah, even the guys like when Jeff Hackett, Ron Tugnutt, guys that backed up teams that I played on, they could still be the backup goaltenders in this fucking day and age. So that position has probably been the one of all the ones, like the forwards have gotten bigger, the forwards have gotten faster, the defensemen the same thing. The game has changed that much as far as training and everything, but the goaltender position, I think those guys could travel.
Well, in as far as things changing and getting crazy now, so now that we've...
And your theory about making the net bigger, that's just ridiculous.
Why wouldn't you do that?
Because every record from the beginning of time then is fucking done. Because now guys are shooting on a bigger net.
Okay. No, I mean, well...
Everything.
Well, I know, but other sports have had to deal with that, and they just deal with it.
Not to this magnitude. Did they make the football goalpost wider?
Well, no, but they change the rules.
I know, but the goalposts are the same fucking thing.
I understand.
The biggest thing that I'm really thankful for is that they built all these new rinks already.
Right.
Because if they didn't, they'd be expanding them fucking ice surfaces so big that you wouldn't be able to... It'd be a soccer field.
Well, you watch. In the next decade, the new rinks that are going to be built are going to be built bigger and wider with the ability to put a European-sized rink in there. So that if the NHL goes that direction, they already have it to where they can scale or model their building, move some things around. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah. Well, things are changing all over the place, and you guys are going to be able to... I mean, I've never talked to you guys about this. And we try not to talk.
Well,
I'm hoping you guys don't have like some... I mean, fortunately, maybe you guys don't have anything awful that's ever happened to you. But, man, with all the stuff that's coming out, and Kimmy, you've been a little vocal on some things. But, man, there's a lot of stuff coming down right now about coaching and things are going on. Both you guys are very good coaches, especially at your level. And both you guys could coach at the highest level, I'm sure. But my point is, man, this thing is like there's a lot of people going to jump on this thing that, no disrespect, they don't really understand the full magnitude. And people are going, what are you talking about? The bottom line is you just don't ever lay a hand on somebody. Okay. But man, the verbal stuff, there's a fine line there, whether people want to admit it or not, when it comes to winning, coaching, motivating.
I disagree with all that.
You know,
here's my problem with it all.
Well, why do you disagree? Because you don't think it's...
You know what? You're fucking yapping today.
I am yapping today. That's right. I'm fired up.
What the fuck are you drinking over there? Jeez, I'm the goddamn guy with the Red Bull.
Yeah.
So, no, but you know what? You can't be kicked in the ass anymore. You can't be called... You know, you want to be put in the position to be the guy on the power play. You want to be the guy that kills the penalties. You want to be the guy that scores a goal, but no one can say anything to you about how you're going to do that. So you have no coaching that can never do that. And he has to talk to you in a proper way, or you can't. How do you think the Bear Bryant and these guys back in the day, how do you think that they were so successful and they're so thought about by all the players that played for them? They played fucking mind games. You have to play mind games with when an athlete is so... When you reach the peak of your pinnacle and you're going to the National Hockey League or the football, I don't care where you are, these guys need a way to... you don't have to hit them. You don't have to do anything, but you can call them out because they like that. If you call a professional hockey player out, a superstar out, they take that personal because obviously they're the ones that need to carry this animal. So they take it upon themselves, and then everybody else, if you go to the top and you pull the chain on the top guy, everyone else will follow into there. And yeah, I'll tell you what, I talked to Ribs, we were off the air, and we talked to this stuff, and I took a lot of shit, you know, and I was at the bottom of the spectrum, you know, and I still took, you know, but that's okay, I get it. That's the way fucking the game is. It made me a better person. Did I like the National Hockey League from the way that it took my career and would I become a fighter? I didn't like that. I like to play the game of hockey, but I would have never changed it still because my goal was to make the National Hockey League. But Ribs, a person, you know, Ribs played a lot more ice time than I did, but
I'll guarantee you he was fucking held accountable to some. It's easier to yell at him than it is Chris Chelios. I do know that in the game.
Well, fuck, you ain't lying.
You know what? Or Al McGinnis. If you're playing with Al McGinnis, if I'm the coach sitting there, I'm going to go get Ribs, and Al's going to hear what I'm saying to Ribs. Cause so then, and he's smart enough to clue in and say, yeah, I get the, you know, we got to go in that direction. But if you can't call a player out, if you can't do this, and what some of these guys are doing, you know, I woke up this morning and I'm watching ESPN. And there's a person on there that used to cover basketball, and they're doing a half-hour show. And they're talking about how the NHL is sort of, you know, taking a back step, and they're kicking themselves in the ass. I'm going, isn't this – NHL has a hard enough time right now to stay above water because you're fighting these other sports. And now you're kicking yourself in the ass by fucking guys that wouldn't have a life if they didn't play the game. It's just crazy.
So, Ribs, I know that you played in Detroit. I can't remember. Was Babcock there when you – was this before?
Fuckstick?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was there.
Okay. So so this is going to be good, Riz. I'm going to take this somewhere. I mean, I don't know if you've had these, but so you just called him fuckstick, which means...
Every time I take a shit, I say I'm going to have a Babcock.
Okay. Now, the truth of the matter is...
That's a fact. And you know it too, Kimby.
I think this will be what the people really want to hear. So the reality of it is you obviously don't think much of him as a man.
No, and here, okay, so here, let me back.
But you've never said it before. Is that keep it in house?
No, I've never said it publicly on airwaves.
That's what I mean.
I've said it several times to anybody who wants to know why every time I go have a shit, I call it a Babcock.
Right.
People go, why do you call it a Babcock? Well, here, pull up a chair. Let me tell you why.
Right.
He's not a good person.
Right.
He's flat out not a good person. Now, I played for Mike Keenan twice.
Right.
Two different organizations. Mike is not a really great guy either, okay? And right. The reason I say that is because he played the mind games with you. I'd rather be told to fuck off or tell me I played like shit or you're no good or you're dog shit or you don't work hard. I'd rather be undressed like that than to have the mind games.
Yeah.
You know, Kimby? Like the mind games are where they don't talk to you for fucking 4 weeks. You get sent to the minors. You get called back up. There's no reasoning. There's no rhyme or reason, nothing. All of a sudden, you're being scratched. Then the next game, you play 20 minutes a game. It's a total mind fuck. And that was hard. And look, at Mike Keenan, we talk about guys going down the bench and giving guys the boot or a pinch or whatever. Look, that happened. And I was okay with that. I really was.
I was too.
People think, oh, he was okay with being abused. I didn't see it as abuse. I really didn't. And now everybody evolves, okay? You look at corporate America, the Me Too movement that happened. Well, what about 25 years ago? What about 30 years ago? Well, guess what? Corporate America's had to evolve with the times. So I'm more interested in what the future of NHL coaching looks like than yesterday. I really don't give a fuck that a Sutter brother came down and kicked you in the ass in the middle of a game in junior. Guess what? Let's just make sure tomorrow that doesn't happen. Let's just continue to evolve. That's all. You know, that's the way I look at it. You can't, if that's the case, think of all the coaches in the Hall of Fame in every major sport that could be ripped out of the Hall of Fame for verbal abuse or physical abuse. Think about that for a second. If we're going to go backwards, it really gets fucked up. So, in my opinion, you got to move forward with all this stuff.
And I agree. And I'll tell you, I did it last night. We had a game last night where we come up short, but then there was reasons why we come up short. But I called some kids out in the locker room, and I said this, you know. But during the game or other points, I've also praised those kids. So, you know, it's not going to be all praise. That's not how fucking life is, man. I'm not about, if you can't take criticism, then you get out with the libtards and the millennials and go play that fucking game. Because the people that are really throwing this game in the thing, you get a couple nutcases that played the game at one point in time, and they're sort of become fucking shit bums, and they just want to grab onto everything they're grabbing onto, and they throw it out in the media, and the fucking media people, because they don't know a fucking flying ass of what's going on in the sport. They don't know the insides of the game. They don't know nothing. They grab this shit, and they run with it, and they drag the game down. And that's what's going on at this point in time, because they have no idea. Like the stuff like Daryl Sutter, and his name was brought up in the process. I didn't like Daryl Sutter either. Because he played a mind game to me too. It was the same process that Riv just said. But I have a choice, and I had a choice to say, you know, get me the fuck out of here. I don't need to be here anymore. And I did that. And I got another chance. But at some point in time, and I don't know if Riv's going to speak for herself, but I'll speak for myself. at some point in time, you got to look in the fucking mirror, because some of the shit I was causing myself. I was doing some of it. And so I was giving the guy ample time to come in and fucking railroad me, because I was being a fucking idiot, maybe doing things off the ice or doing something here and there. I did that shit too. So if you're going to fucking, and I know the guys that are yapping in the NHL right now, I know those guys. They got a lot of shit in their backyard, so they should shut the hell up.
You got to be real careful when you start emptying out closets, because somebody might fucking figure out the combination of your closet and open that motherfucker up.
Yeah, exactly.
And you got to be very careful. So here's where I want to say, to add on to what Kimby said, is I'm not okay with coaches physically confronting players, because that's a lose-lose situation, right? Because then if somebody says, fuck you, Rivers, and tries to give me a punch and I knock him out, and where am I then? The hockey news won't even be able to find me next time. So it's an uneven playing field. So I don't like the physical stuff. I really don't. All the kicking that coaches have done to the ass, to the ribs, or the fucking coming down and pinching you under the shoulder pads and asking if you're fucking sober or fucking whatever, I could do without that stuff. Now, the verbal undressing, is it pertains to the game of hockey. I'm okay with that. Society as itself has gotten soft on accountability. And I don't think that that's a recipe for success. I really don't. I think that you have to be held accountable. Why do they give you a grade at school? Because it matters what kind of fucking success you have, right? So there's accountability. You don't study for the test, you fail the test. That's just the bottom line. You show up, you fall asleep in that teacher's classroom.
That's what happened to me.
Yeah. But you show up to the teacher's classroom, you fall asleep in the front row. The teacher's not allowed to tell you that's unacceptable. You're being disrespectful. Now that's verbal abuse. If the teacher gets mad about that, no, you're held accountable to that. So same thing translates over to professional sports. And in this moment right now, we'll talk professional hockey, is there's accountability that needs to be there. And if the coach comes in and says you're playing like a bag of shit, or you smell like you're in a fucking brewery because you're out all night last night, or you're out of shape, you're 10 pounds overweight, guess what? Like Kimby said, he's probably right. There's truth to that. And every time I look back, and like you said, Kimby, I'd look in the mirror at the end of a game or at the end of a night, I'd know. Did you give it everything you had? Did you play the best you could? Were you fucking serious enough for the last week? Did you do the training? You had the answers, you know. So as much as I'm not saying I condone the physical stuff and that I'm okay with the verbal accountability, you already know. So these players that are out there whining about how they've been handled in the past, how the fuck are you supposed to get better? How can that coach or any business send a message to their employees that certain behavior is unacceptable? You have to let it be known. And it can't always be one-on-one. Because if I'm with you one-on-one, how the hell is Kimby ever going to know what my standards are? That's the bottom line. So, yeah,
and
there, you know.
And you know what? And just a little side note when you're going down this road. And here's where I have – the only part that I have a trouble with the whole thing is, and I sort of side with you got to be careful as a coach is, because when I grew up and I was in junior hockey, my man called Graham James was coaching Swift Current.
Oh, boy.
Sheldon Kennedy, Theo Fleury, and these guys went through the process, and he was taking advantage of them in a different format. And that should never friggin' happen in hockey. And that's why, you know, I sort of sit there and thinking, because if a coach can sort of mentally get into a guy's head and then, you know, you can go down that road. And I can't even argue that, because that's a no-no.
Why we have to be very careful. That's why I said it's got to pertain to the game.
Yeah. So if you're talking to the game, like what Riv said, if you're doing something in the actions of a game, and if you can't call the kid and say, you need to do this better, you need to do that, and you know, and the reason why I have a hard time with it, because I'm on my fourth time telling them, you need to do this, and that's where it gets a little frustrating, because why are you frustrated with him? Because you know he can do better.
Yeah.
It's not because he's a scum, you know, he's not because he's a piece of shit that you're trying to kick in the, I don't do it that way. I don't kick him in the nuts to say, here, you can't do this job. I do it because I know you can do it, but why aren't we doing it? And I'm trying to get to that point, and sometimes it gets a little frustrating, and you got to be careful with it.
So real quick to both you guys. So I think everybody, I mean, listen, I think you guys are pretty consistent with where you're at on this. The physical stuff, there's no place for it. But is there anything you've seen so far that's come out that has pushed that envelope, even though it wasn't physical for you? Because were you with Franzen?
Yeah.
Okay. So you were there.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't even gotten to Babcock yet, and I will. But first, look, the physical stuff There's just no spot for it. You can get people motivated without kicking or punching or fucking hitting them or doing grabbing them by the head or whatever. You can do, you should be able to motivate somebody without doing that. Otherwise, you're not a very good coach or not a very good motivator. Secondly, I'm not okay with the racial stuff.
Yeah.
That's unacceptable. Yeah. And you know what? What's sad about it is I understand the context in what happened in that locker room that day for Bill Peters. I understand how it got there. Because I've had conversations with my own team, the U16 team that I coach, about music that they listen to in the locker room, that there's little kids in the hallway, that there's parents that are addressing kids on the bench that can hear this through the building. And I've told them, I do not want music on there, and especially now, it's a ban on inappropriate use of racial stuff or sexual stuff. You got to stop it. You got to nip it in the bud. And so Bill Peters, as awful as it is, he didn't think that through. He didn't. You know, you've got to be really careful, and you got to be sensitive to those situations. And he made a big mistake. Has there been other mistakes that he's made along the way? Was he racial any other time? I don't know. How many things have happened over the years, right? But so the physical side, the racial side, I'm not okay with. I think that you don't need that. I could be wrong, Kimby, but no, in my opinion, you don't need that to make a good hockey team.
Yep. And I'll tell you, so what Rivs is saying, I'm right on board with what he's saying, but the mental part, you know, when you get to pro hockey, and Robbie Fedoruk always used to say this to me, Robbie, you know, he says, once you get to pro hockey, Kimby, he says it's fucking 95% mental. It's fucking, because all the, when you get into the game, because everyone's pretty well in the physical area, are all equal to each, you know, maybe one guy skates a little bit faster than the other, maybe one guy's a little bit bigger and does something, but other than that, you're pretty well, all the 20 guys that are going out there are equal to what they're going out on the other side. So now it becomes a mental contest, and that's why when you see the guys that win the Stanley Cup, the superstars, and because they're a little bit like Gretzky and them, they're a little bit smarter than the average bear, you know, that was playing the game. They were two or three steps ahead of everybody, you know, and that's why they win, because that's you know, you always find the superstar usually gets there to the top of the ladder. You know, Crosby's got there, Ovechkin's got there, all these guys have got to the top of the ladder, and they've won the trophy for a reason, because they're a little smarter than the person. It's not that they don't, I know I never had the fortune to win the damn thing, but I wasn't going to determine it if I were going to win the Stanley Cup, but you know, you just want to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. You're going to win it if you had a superstar, but you know, that's just the where it's a, I don't know. That's just what I think.
Now to conclude this
right.
with Mike Babcock, here's my experience with him is the very first day he came into training camp in Traverse City, where the Red Wings always do their training camp, which is phenomenal, by the way. We did a video in front of the entire training camp of what he wants to see out of the team and what he doesn't want to see out of our team. And the very first thing he does is go through about 10 clips of Team Canada playing in the World Cup, playing against Sweden. And every clip shows Nick Lidstrom in a compromised situation to where the play didn't end up the way he wanted it to. And we're all sitting there going, is he really showing clips of Nick Lidstrom's kind of screwing up right now? First of all, how fucking far did you have to go to find those clips? Because they ain't fucking regular.
Yeah, no.
And that's what he leads off with. So right away, he's establishing, you know, like if it was prison, he's establishing that he's going to run that fucking jail cell.
Yep.
And that was wrong. Nick Lidstrom's one of the nicest guys, best teammates, leaders, you name it, okay? And that's how he started off his tenure. Then he calls a bunch of us into a room that are already on contract with the Red Wings, and tells us all, well, you guys, you know what? You're not on my roster. And it's not just me. We're talking guys who had been there a long time that had won cups for the Red Wings. And he's telling them, you're not on my roster. I don't see you as part of my team. You know, you guys are under contract. Kenny Holland liked you guys, but I'm not a fan. So, you know, we'll see what happens. And that's it. So now, this is the first day of fucking training camp. Now, what do you think the expectations are from there for a guy like me? Never mind some of the other guys who had Stanley Cups with the Red Wings and long-time relationship with Ken Holland. It's my third year in Detroit. I don't exactly have a resume as long as my fucking leg to sit there and fight back. So I get put in a shit ringer, and I'm being healthy scratch. He's calling guys up from the minors and playing them ahead of me.
Yeah.
And then I had 10, 12 meetings with the guy and Kenny Holland. What can I do? Like, there's got to be something I suck at so bad that you can tell me, because you're a fucking great coach, right? At least you say you are, anyways. What am I doing wrong? Never had anything. Well, you just need to be working harder. Bullshit. I was in the gym every fucking day, even on game days, for at least an hour, hour and a half, doing something, and on the bike after every practice, out on the ice early, last guy to leave the ice. What else can you fucking do? And then when I'd play like 6 minutes. So it was a mind fuck all the time. He'd come in the locker room then too and be like, hey, Rivs, because it'd be uncomfortable if I was in the lounge and he was grabbing a coffee. Hey, Rivs, how's the family doing? Fuck off. You don't fucking care about my family. You know, and then as soon as somebody bigger would walk in that room, he'd literally stop talking to you mid-sentence and talk to them. So if it was Steve Eisman walked in and be like, hey, Rivs, how's the family? He'd be like, well, you know, the kids are doing this. We're getting excited. Hey, Stevie, how you doing? Yeah. And just move on. This guy, he's not a good person. I watched him fuck with people in the arena, the guys who park the cars, the guys who fucking sweep the floors, the guys who do the ice, the guys who fill up the water bottles, the equipment guys. I mean, you name it. He had to assert his manhood all the time. So he's obviously an insecure little fucking whiny baby when he has to do that. And all that's coming out in the wash now.
I thought about this for a while. And this
now, he never like kicked or punched me or anything like that. I would have knocked him out. But anyways,
here's the curious here, because he obviously, and I don't know the man. I met him one time in an airport, but there was an arrogance about him then. And just to hear the stories, there's an arrogance about the man. But here's my question to you. And here, because, you know, since it's all like Riv says, it's coming out in the wash. But so he sat in Detroit for a while. He won a Stanley Cup in Detroit.
Ray Charles could have coached that team.
Yeah, exactly. So, but he does that. So then he goes up to, they put him on Team Canada. He coaches Team Canada again, Ray Charles. But he puts him on, then he gets another Team Canada again, Ray Charles. So he's gone through the process, but Brendan Shanahan, who is the president in Toronto, Lou Lamoriello, who is one of the best GMs that might have ever been around and applying talent and everything, they hire him in Toronto. So this process was working down the ladder from the elites in Canada. So, and now the media jumps on it. Well, let's fucking start at the top of the ladder here. Let's go to Hockey Canada. What were you doing? Like, let's go to Brendan Shanahan. And I'm not calling
Shanahan.
Well,
that's what's scary too, is Shanny didn't like him. Yeah. He wasn't nice to Shanny. He wasn't. He was a fucking dick to Shanny too. Now, not as much as like he always tried to assert himself for Chelly. Like he kept, because Chelly was controlling the room, right?
Yeah.
And he couldn't go after Yzerman, because he knew that was just suicide.
Yeah.
So he'd go after Chelly and fuck with Chelly. But he'd fuck with Shanny too. And so when Shanny got that job and hired him, now the succession to that was Brendan Shanahan got hired. Brendan Shanahan hired Mike Babcock. Then he hired Lou Lamoriello.
Yeah.
And I think that's why Lou hit the road before everybody else, is because Babcock couldn't get along with Lou. And I think that I think the three of them had a different vision. And from the get-go, when you give Babcock that contract that they gave him, you're basically telling him you do whatever the hell you want because, you know, what are we going
to
do, right?
But when you go to pro hockey, though, and so we're in pro hockey, and this has gone on, what you just say too and what I've said. So the owners, Hockey Canada, all they really care about is winning then. Because I got nothing wrong
with
that.
Well, that's the main thing on the scouting report. Yeah. Oh, he's a winner.
Yeah. So that's why
he's
that's
a piece
why
of shit, but he's a winner.
Yeah. And he's he does that. Chris Chelios, like I played him in Chicago. You know, he would do anything for you. He would any young kid. He would make sure everything was all right. He would talk to you. You know, he played the game. He's one of the best players I've ever played with. The work ethic on this man was unbelievable. But he liked to have fun. Everything was, you know, he was a total pro hockey player. That he reminded me of Guy Lafleur, and now he played with through the Montreal system.
Yeah, he did.
And, you know, with the Flower.
Sure.
But he reminded me a lot of the Flower, because it was, you know, the Flower. Chelly was a guy that would just lay back, but he was, you know, he made sure everyone was part of the team. It was always, that was his process. And I watched Daryl Sutter when I was there. They would go get Chelly because they knew if they could jump on Chelly, he could handle it. One was Chelly could handle it.
Mm-hmm.
And two, if I go get the big dog, all these other little shit bums have to listen to me if I'm going to get the big dog. So, you know, that's their process, what they're thinking of trying to manipulate a room. Because they can manipulate Darren Kimball pretty easily. Because I went after Chelios and I had a screaming match with Balfour, and I went after Jeremy Roenick. But these guys, they could respond to it because they could go out and they were the best players in the world. When you're lower on the totem pole, as Rivs said earlier, he's only going to give you so much ice time. You know, when I was with Daryl Sutter, pretty soon it come to the point where you're in and out of the lineup, you go in and fight, you get pulled out of the lineup, you're doing your job, you get pulled out. All of a sudden, you don't take the next plane trip, you don't go on the next road trip, you're staying at home, so you're not even part of the team anymore. So they've mentally fucked you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's no, and once you get to a certain point, you're, and I'm not crying over this. Shit goes on. And so what I did was, get me the fuck out of here. I don't want to play here anymore. And I went, and I had a chance to go play with Robbie Fatorik again in New Jersey. And then, you know, and I screw my own self out of that one. But so I hold myself accountable for a lot of the shit, because I could have maybe lasted a little longer in the NHL if I wanted to, but I fucked myself. But because there are bad times in life, but there, you know, you can get yourself out of the situation, and you know, maybe it works out for you.
Yeah.
So let me ask we'll last thing on this, because I think this will be a little bit relatable to the everyday guy. Is part of it too, and I mean, I'm not making excuses for anybody. I'm not saying anybody's wrong, right? But is the biggest part of this thing that, and again, I know, you know Franzen, I don't know him.
Mm-hmm.
Carcillo,
one of the nicest fucking guys ever, Johan Franzen.
Okay, so is part of this though, and I think
did you just say Carcillo? Well, don't say his fucking name.
Okay, well, my point is, I'm just saying we have all these different guys that are chiming in here, right? So is the biggest part of it though, is, and I think Darren said, like if you listen to him and listen to you talk, you guys have both acknowledged. Look, I was able to wasn't right, but man, I looked in the mirror. I did this. Everybody's different. So some people can handle it and some people can't. And in the end of the day, there's probably, like I said, we're hearing from a handful of guys. There's got to be literally thousands of guys out there that are going, boy, I know what he's talking about. But it didn't affect them the way it affected somebody else, just because we're all different.
But this happened when me and Rivs played, and I mean before Rivs. This shit happened when I was 16 years old, when, you know, I'm playing for Patty Janelle. And Patty, you know, and he was a tough son of a bitch, but he demanded something out of you. And you're held accountable. So at 16 years old, you're being held accountable. So,
and you wouldn't change that, though, no, is my point.
I wouldn't change that, but I'm just saying.
But there was probably somebody to this day that would have.
This millennial shit that goes on nowadays, the game's looked at differently. So when you go to a rink now and do it, go look and see where see, my parents never went to the practices. They never did. I walked to practice. I went through practice, the coach, whatever. I'm not saying that because you want to live your life through a lot of people live their life through the kids. There's a difference between living your life through your kid or viewing your kid.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big difference, because when you start putting your input in, you're going to fuck your kid. First of all, you're fucking your kid. And second of all, people don't even want you around anymore because you're just total ass. So there's a fine line to run as a parent. And the parents are taking this thing over right now. They got their nose in everything. And the coach is so scared to do anything. You can't discipline a kid on the ice. If you go and skate them, fuck, they get mad at you for doing that anymore. And
well, that's considered physical abuse now.
Yeah.
If you skate a bunch of kids after for 30, 40 minutes, or you make them run outside, well, that's abusive. You're degrading them, and that's physical abuse. They shouldn't have to do that stuff. And I'm not saying that's all the parents, because some people listening are going to go, oh, come on. That's a fact. You'll get a couple of sets of parents that are whispering behind the scenes going, that's uncalled for. It's unnecessary. If he can't get the best out of them during the regular time, what is this going to do? It's just making my son hate the sport.
I was 16 years old playing for Patty Janelle, and I'm not cutting Patty down. I thought the guy was, you know, he helped my career out immensely. He got me going in the right direction, got me playing junior hockey. So I owe a lot to the man. So I'm not knocking him here, but this is how it was. We rode a bus, and when you're up in Saskatchewan, it's you know, you get 30 below, 40 below, you know, depending on what's
going
on.
That's in the summer.
So balmy out here.
So we went up, and I believe we were in Estevan, and we get our ass handed to us. And, you know, we get spanked pretty bad. We had a pretty good team. And we get our ass spanked. So the old iron lung gets coming home. And the old iron lung, everyone's got their hockey equipment on. They're still wearing them. You weren't allowed to take it off. He said, put your bags, go sit on the bus, leave your equipment on. So now we're riding home on the bus for about another 5 hours. We get 2 miles outside of the rink, out of the city, the bus stops. And everybody's fucking waking up.
I know where this is going.
Everybody's waking up. All of a sudden, the fucking, get the fuck out, follow the bus down the road. The bus would be going like 5 miles an hour, and you'd follow that bus all the way to the rink. You walk 2 miles in the fucking 30 below weather sitting in the equipment. But did you learn from it? You fucking right we did.
Because you know what? Next game, you didn't come out with a piss poor effort.
No, you come out.
That
you
is a great.
But
that's classic.
That's old school hockey, though. You know, and that's just the.
Or the don't hang them up, put them on. Yeah. You travel back 6, 7 hours, 8 hours, whatever it is. You're getting in. It's in Sudbury.
Yes.
Was minus fucking 40 or 50. And, you know, you'd arrive at the rink and the bags are frozen from underneath the bus and the long trip. And you get in the locker room and guys are starting to hang up their gear because it's time to go home. It's maybe 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. Coach would come in and be like, don't fucking hang it up. Put it on.
Yeah.
And take us out in the frozen, wet gear, out on the ice and skate you for an hour.
We were doing that. We come back from Medicine Hat, and Rick Wilson, who was assistant coach here for the Blues for the last little bit under Hitchcock. Wills was my coach in junior. We got back, and so we got back at, I think, 5 in the morning. And he comes in, put him on. Okay. So we're going out. Now there's no one at the rink, so he's got the key to get in, but now he can't turn the lights on out in the rink. So the sun's coming through where the people walk in to sit down on the thing, so that's all you got. So he says, get on the ice, and he took a chair out, and he sat in the middle of in the rink, and he blew the whistle, and you'd have to go hard, and then you slow down, and you go hard. Then after 45 minutes, it goes the other way. So we get to 7 o'clock, and he blows the whistle. You think you're done. And he goes, okay, all the kids that got to go to school, go. And the rest of you, stay out here. I go, son of a bitch. We continued on for another hour yet. But that's, you know what? You learned your lesson. Your next game, you were ready to play hockey.
Well, we had a coach, too, and I won't bring up his name just because it might be viewed as negative in these days. When I was playing junior and up in Sudbury, it's a mining community. In the big mining business there is called Inco. And so anyways, we had a bad road trip. We came back, and it wasn't, don't hang him up, put him on. We got in about 2 in the morning. It wasn't that far of a trip. Coach says, okay, everybody back here at 5 a.m. And wear clothes for outdoor weather, boots, gloves, fucking mask, whatever you got to wear. Because it's the middle of fucking winter and it's hot, it's cold. So we go home, basically take a shower, have a bite to eat, put on some clothes, come back. There's a bus waiting at the rink. Like, what the fuck is going on here? Get on the bus. We get on the bus. The bus takes us, drives us over to Inco, the mining company. We get off the bus. There's a representative from the mining company waiting for us, gives us fucking hard hats. All right, boys, let's get to work. And they put us to work in the mines. I'm not shitting you. Moving gravel and fucking trash and bullshit and all that for 10 hours straight in the cold. Back on the bus, back to the rink for a team meeting. Coach says, how'd you like your day, boys? Guy's like, holy fuck, you know? He goes, the job you did today, that was the bottom of the line job at Inco. That's what you did. And that's what you will fucking do for the rest of your life if you don't fucking play harder and want it more and get the fuck out of here, because that's what's going to happen.
You guys have just covered every reference from Youngblood. I mean, the guy going back to the farm, is this what you want to do, or you want to be a hockey player?
It's true.
But you know what's funny about that? And so whatever we've said to you here, and when he talks about going to work and that, the NHL's getting blown up right now. This shit goes on in the real world. I'm in the real world. I work in the real world. The places where I worked at, the same shit goes on. You don't show up and do your job. What do you think they do? What do you think those bosses say?
Patch on the ass, it'll be all right.
And there's 90.
How are you feeling today, Darren? Yeah.
There's 95%.
Let me help you understand you.
You know what they do to it? You don't show up on time. You don't do your job. You know what that happens to you? You get a fucking pink slip and you walk out the door, and now your family doesn't get food.
Yeah.
You know, so this is going on in the real world. So it's not. Then that's what pisses me off about everything. We're going to blow the National Hockey League up, which, you know, is a hard enough time to stay above water. You're changing the game. You're trying to bring people into the game. And now you slap them on with this because of a couple idiots running out there and a couple bad coaches. There's bad people in every business you work in, man. That's the way it goes. But if you're in the real world, ask them people. Have them get them on your goddamn hotline here and see how many people sit there and say, hey, if I didn't show up or did my boss, did he bring me flowers? And a lot of them are going to be women that can say when they were doing their jobs, they're going to be in the same goddamn ball game, you know? Yeah.
Well, one thing, too, before we exit this, because I think we've talked about it, one of the best coaches I ever had was Jimmy Roberts, okay? Former original Mr. St. Louis Blue. He was hardcore. You know, he played under fucking Toe Blake and Scotty Bowman and all those guys from back in the day. Never, ever did he abuse us, but he was hard on you. He called you out when you needed to be called out. Yes. He worked the freaking snot out of you because he knew what it took to get to the next level. He didn't always tell you what you wanted to hear, but he told you what was best for you. And so I think we have to look back at that. And I'm sure if people went back and dissected everything Jimmy did, they'd be like, oh, my God, I can't believe he did that to players. I can't find one guy that I know of that hated playing for Jimmy Roberts. One of the best guys ever. He put his nuts out there on the line for his players. Many times he got guys called up that maybe would have never gotten a sniff before. So I think it needs to be recognized, too, that since we're piling on all these coaches that are horrible people, according to like four or five or a little group of society, well, let's recognize some of the guys who were hard on you that were fucking amazing, too.
So yeah, that turned a lot of people into, you know, there's guys in the National Hockey League that are like, look where Basil McRae's at, and he put a lot of hard work in, and he went through ownership, and he's at the, in Columbus. Like, go talk about those stories. Those are the good stories about how where people had to come from, or you can go to any town in Canada where these people have come from, me included, Ribs included, but small areas where you've come and you made something, go tell those stories. Quit fucking dragging the game down all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the hard part for anybody, whether you're a fan or anything, is seeing all this go on. And people have their own experiences. Mm-hmm. Like you guys are saying, it only takes one guy to have had his own personal bad experience with a guy to start throwing it. That's why, like the Kelly Chase thing with the Sutters, I think Kelly Chase stepped up and said, listen, you're bagging on some guys that have done a ton of good shit for a lot of people.
Yeah, he's bagging. That individual's bagging on people where he has never played for them.
Yep.
Tell me about your personal experience. Don't tell me secondhand shit. Yeah, because everybody who's been fucked over by somebody, I can tell you right now that every coach that fucked me over, it was the coach's fault. That coach. He was an asshole. And you're hearing that from me. So you go, yeah, that coach must be an asshole. You're not hearing the part where I was a fucking shit bag.
Right.
Or I wasn't playing good enough. So secondhand information to me, right, you just put that in the trash. I don't want it.
I always refer to Shawshank Redemption. What do they say in Shawshank, the movie, when they go, what are you in here for? Well, it wasn't me.
One me.
I'm innocent.
Me. Yeah, I'm innocent.
Oh, I thought you meant the one to take your pants off. Oh, no, that's not it. Okay, sorry.
But that's why I always go to that, because it's, you know, the guys that are bitching right now about it is, they're almost playing the whoa, it's me card. Hey, your fucking hockey career is over. You had a successful fucking career. Get into the fucking real world now. It's, you know, not everyone's going to give you the diapers and everything that you're going to run through life with. Earn your fucking shit now. I got to do it. He's got to do it.
If you want to change something, then dive in head first and be the first person to lead by example. Yep. Not talk about it.
Yep.
If Daniel Carcillo wants to call out all these people, guess what, Daniel? You put the fucking work boots on. You go coach a hockey team. You work your way up. You show everybody how it's done. And when you have that successful model, now you can preach to the world of how great you are and what you did and how fucking many steps you took to become the best coach ever.
Yep.
And make sure you're mistake-free while you do that, because otherwise that's going to set you back, Daniel.
Because you know what? Because you can't. Just
which he's not mistake-free. This is the reason why this guy doesn't have another job.
You go live your life, and whatever you've done, own up to your own life. But don't just go out and say, oh, I was a bad fucking character. Because I did a lot of bad things, too. But don't say you're a bad character, and I'm forgiven now, and everyone else should be fucking forgiving me for what I did in my life, and now I'm the smartest guy on the planet. That's not how it fucking works. It's like Riv said, go fucking. Or if you want to fight for concussion people that are doing it, Go get it. Go be the spokesperson. I don't give a shit.
Which, by the way, I will give him credit for that, okay? Is he's identified a problem, and he did. He's got video and documentation where he showed up to these summits and done things and taken steps to identify certain things and brain treatment. For that, I'm not going to criticize him. He's living his experience. He's describing his experience, his education of the situation, all the power to him. The problem I have is when you start talking in second and third person or down the line, right? The telephone game. And then maybe you're not able to describe because you're not living that moment. Go coach a team. Make the process better. That's all. Yeah. I'm fucking done with it.
Done with it.
Well, let's talk hockey then. Well, we've been talking hockey, but let's talk Blues hockey, current Blues hockey. Before we do that, make sure you guys check us out. We're bluesnhlpodcast.com. I want you to subscribe to the show there. Find us on our social media sites at STL Blues Podcast on Twitter, Blues NHL Podcast on Facebook, and, of course, Blues NHL Podcast on Instagram. Lineup, mediagroup.fm, home of your radio, the streaming platform for your mobile device, is where you can find us as well. We want to thank Randy Green with InnovativeCompanies.com for his continued support of the show. Residential, commercial, industrial, doesn't matter. Randy Green's the name you know and trust. I can't say enough about all the stuff that he did for this community around Thanksgiving, making sure people had what they needed when it came to turkeys and things like that if they were struggling this year. And, you know, it's just a great thing that the guy does, he and his wonderful daughter, Stephanie. That's InnovativeCompanies.com. Guys, we're going to talk a little hockey here. We got some fans on our Patterson Tire and Service text line.
Did Rivers get a free turkey from him?
I don't know. I mean, I know you were really concerned when you were at Patterson Tire that he was going to roll in there and
get free turkey.
You
should have.
You took a bit. You know, when you haven't been around, you take a beating a little bit from him. I know you don't listen, you know, because you're busy. But
that's what I figured. Right? I'm not in the room. He's got to talk shit.
I know he's not going to listen. He's big time now.
Oh God.
Well, we got some hockey questions for you guys, and we want to thank the Patterson family again. Patterson Tire and Service, a whole lot more than a tire store. Give them a call for a quote: 618-797-6711, located at 3718 Highway 111. Granite City, Illinois, our good friends, the Patterson family.
Pump up your tires with Patterson Tires.
Pump it up. Man, he's got his radio voice going, doesn't
see
he?
See that? I don't know if that was radio or like DJ stripper.
I was going to say.
Stripper DJ.
I was going porn business.
I was
going
to say.
Welcome back. Darren Kimball wearing his extra size Bauer snow hat.
We're on stage.
Kenny Rogers. okay. All right, Cromer, let's go.
All right, what does this team need to see more, in your opinion, guys? I think they've been playing pretty well until Chicago, but I know they won't. But still, Pittsburgh, I'm wondering who needs to step up. Aren't you allowed a game to just
– How many fucking times? Like, are you kidding me? Do you know where we were last year at this time of year? What are they going to do? They got four injuries to key guys. And never before did I ever think I'd say Oscar Sundquist is a fucking key guy. Yep. But guess what? He has evolved into one of the better, maybe one of the best, two-way players in the NHL. So you're missing that. You're missing Alexander Steen. I don't care what anybody says about the guy. He does a lot of little things right out there, and he's part of your leadership group. You're missing Tarasenko, who's your 30, 40-goal guy. And who else are we missing? We're missing one more. Sammy Blais. Your most physical presence in your lineup, Sammy Blais, is missing, and he's been putting points up. So I don't think I'm ready to dog on anything the Blues are doing right now. They're calling up guys from the minors. Nathan Walker from fucking down under, Australia, who's playing really well.
Aussie.
Oi, oi, oi. I knew you were going to say that for some reason. But, you know, listen, there's nothing wrong. Jake Allen is playing out of his skin right now.
See, you're jumping ahead to the next question, Gene.
Hold on, let him talk. He's going good here, though.
I mean, Jake Allen's playing out of his skin. Alex Pietrangelo's never played better in his career. He should be in the Norris Trophy discussion, or at least at the top of the discussion. I mean, what else do you want from these guys? 22 guys have a point on their roster.
And I think that not only the coaching staff has to get a lot of credit for what's going on, but then your scouting system and your general manager, and I'll even give props to Army on this one. The organization's got a lot of players that can play this game, and I think they can come up out of the minors, and they're plugged in, and they're getting when you run a system that everyone comes up and you can just throw them in there and you go out and play the way that's supposed to be played. That's now you're getting into the Montreal organizations, the Detroit when they were on the top of the thing. When organizations do that, that's successful organization. So you're
culture,
top
right?
to bottom, yeah, you're good.
You create a culture and that trickles down now. And Craig Berube said this too, I think last week. He said, somebody asked him a question, well, how do these guys come in and have such success right away, or how do they feel comfortable? And he said right away, he goes, it's a leadership group. Yeah. Guys come in, and our leaders make them feel like they're a big part of this team. They make them feel comfortable, make them feel needed. Yep. You know as well as I do, Kimby. You walk in, and let's say Chris Chelios grabs you, says, hey, kid, we fucking need you. You know, here's what we do on the penalty kill. Here's what we do. Right away, you're in. You're like, I'm in. And then you go down, and you tell the rest of the guys, listen, you got to work your dick off because that you want to be up there.
Yeah.
And Drew Bannister, head coach in San Antonio, and his staff down there, they deserve credit because these guys are coming up. And they're ready. They don't look like AHL hockey players. They look like NHL depth players, which is just what you want.
Robert's question to both you guys is, what a phenomenal bounce back season this has been so far for Jake Allen. Is there anything you can pinpoint to the turnaround? So you've always been listen, you last year said, look,
Kimby's we're at a been point. On and off the train, though. No, fuck him. But fuck him. He's been on and off the train.
Yeah, but he was on for a while.
he started. For a while. He was a conductor. Then he fucking jumped off and let it drive itself for a while.
Well, I think he kind of had to. The guy won us a Stanley Cup that replaced him. So.
If I was a betting man on this, and I don't know Jake, from watching the scenario, he probably, seeing on how they went through the process and Binnington does win the Stanley Cup, so Jake's probably got to say to himself, well, now I got to fucking go back to where I started here and get back to the beginnings and get my work ethic going and get my mind straight and I got to come in. And reality, I'm a backup goaltender, you know. And if he and I, but I'm a backup goaltender. But every chance that I'm gonna fucking get, I got to play the best, because or I'm gonna be a backup the rest of my life. And when you get to the elite sports, you don't ever want to be a backup guy. You want to be the guy that you've drove yourself to be that guy. So now Jake's in this position, and he's come out of it. He's playing exceptionally well, and I believe that at some point in time down the road, he'll get moved at some point. And but he's doing something for himself. But he had to go back and figure out what he had to do. And
accountability?
Yes.
That word accountability?
Well, I don't know if it's accountability. I don't think Jake ever passed the buck.
Right, no.
You know what I mean?
No, but not in that way. But
yeah. But here's what I think has gone on here is Jake has gone away. For me, it started in the second half of last year when Binnington got the tap on the shoulder. And after about 8-9 games, it was decided, hey, it's clearly Jordan Binnington's team now. Mm-hmm. Jake Allen went into great teammate mode. He did. Yep. He worked his ass off, and we talked about it on the show, how in the playoffs he started to emulate opposing goalies and their tendencies to help out the team so that when they're going into these series, they were, you know, locked in. So I think that's where it started. I think the Stanley Cup let him – it actually took some pressure off him, because now if he retired tomorrow, he's a Stanley Cup champion.
Yep.
That's it, the bottom line, right? So you kind of feel like, oh, fuck.
Yep.
I was able to help bring a championship here. So maybe now I can get focused on making me better. And I think he went away and did that, and he's come back, and he stumbled. He had a couple of fucking trip and falls early in the season to where we're like, holy shit, is the puck ever going to hit him again? And he's crawled out of that. Now, what I like, what Craig Berube's done here lately, he's flip-flop, the back-to-backs, where traditionally it's been your starting goalie, your number one goalie on the first end of the back-to-back, and your number two goalie in the second game. Berube's flipped that. And you know what? Even though we don't necessarily think the back-to-back's a big deal, it is to the players. It is to the coaching staff. It is to the modern-day hockey mind. And the Blues have had quite a few back-to-backs. So when you have a back-to-back, if your team is tired, if they are, okay, like I said, we may not see the same on this as a lot of people do, Kimby, but that means you're setting up your backup goalie for the worst-case scenario. A tired team that maybe not as engaged physically or mentally, what the fuck? Yep. Now you've put it in there, well, you better be awesome or we're going to lose. And I think that he switched that up. And Jake Allen, and you and I talked about this last night on the phone, Jake Allen, he's in the middle of setting records in the National Hockey League ever. For wins, save percentage, and all these stats on the road. Now, I know he hasn't been stellar at home. I think that will come, right? But he is fucking incredible right now for the St. Louis Blues on the road. And if Jordan Binnington stubs his toe in any way, shape, or form, you're not going to feel horrible right now going, hey, Jakey, guess what? You've got the ball.
And it's probably confidence is a big
thing. Well, yeah, now, right? Especially goaltender position. The puck is hitting him right now. Yeah. He's tracking the puck. I watched him the other night. He make a glove save. He's watching it right into his glove, whereas before he would throw his hand up and, like, kind of hope it hit it. He is, like, dialed in, man.
And when I go confidence, and it's not just my his individual self, but now he's got 20 guys in front of him that are saying, we can win with fucking Jake now. And it's because there was probably a point last year. Well, I'm not saying probably. There was a point last year when the team was playing, Jake would let a bad goal in. And I've been on teams. The fucking air goes out of the balloon and the fucking
game, it deflates you.
And so now the team got Jake coming in. We're good right now. We're good.
I agree.
Last question from our Patterson Tire and Service text line. Holy shit. Great to see the boys in studio together again. Ribs, you always have something for us. Any truth to the Blues being connected to Mr. Hall?
Yeah, well, look, I think everybody's connected to Taylor Hall right now. Anybody who's looking to improve their team that maybe has cap space or long-term injury reserve money. And right now the Blues fall into that category where they got Tarasenko's money that they can literally swap it out for somebody else.
They'd have to do something with him on paper, though, right, to use that money. Wouldn't they have to put him out for the year?
No, they've put him on long-term injury, which means he'd have to be – his salary is put to the side as long as he's injured.
Okay, so like he couldn't come back. Well, they'd have a
then
cap problem.
They would have a problem. Yeah, right. Okay, so until that point, they wouldn't have a problem. So yes, that's why the Blues are being bundled into all these teams. Would Doug Armstrong like to add Taylor Hall? Yeah, skill wise, but Taylor Hall, it's amazing, right? When you sit back and you look, you go, huh. This kid's never had team success. He's been a rock star, but he's never been able to have a fucking team that won. I wonder why. I wonder why. Now, you could go back and say that about Ryan O'Reilly in Buffalo, but Ryan O'Reilly played for Colorado before, too, and was pretty successful.
Sure.
So it doesn't really match up there. So to me, I would be wondering, what do they want in return? Because Shiro in New Jersey, he's not going to say, oh, give us fucking Nathan Walker. Nothing disrespectful. I'm just saying, like, you know, a minor league player or anybody. He's going to want Kyrou. He's going to want Thomas. He's going to want Pareko. He's going to want something of value to help his team build. And quite honestly, he's probably going to go after Pareko or Dunn. And maybe throw in Jake Allen, because they don't have a goddamn goalie.
Do you think you're at this point in time, because they just fired their coach, so do you think at this point in time that they let Taylor Hall maybe see if Nasruddin wants to keep him around, or you know what I mean?
I don't think it matters. Yeah. I think he's going to want too much money next year, and ultimately it goes back to he's never had team success. Yeah. And it's, why is that? I don't know why, right? Yeah. Like, I don't know. Has he been on teams that the coaching or the leadership or the teams just haven't had a great culture? Maybe. Maybe he's the guy that creates the bad culture. Maybe he's a me guy. Yeah. I don't know. But I do know that adding a guy like that, okay?
A lot like Cromer.
A lot like Cromer. But anyways, adding a guy like that changes the chemical balance of your locker room. It just does. Can he come in and make your team incredible? And maybe he contributes and they're fucking 5 years in a row of Stanley Cup? Maybe.
Right.
Or maybe he comes in and disrupts it so fucking much that all of a sudden now the team isn't as good.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you guys. At this juncture, too, if you know, you like what's happened in the last 365 days is an amazing thing, right? So, and we all sit here and try to figure out, boy, what exactly happened? And you start pointing at things that were
what
obvious, like Bennington. But what about...
Anything happened? I don't know what happened.
What about, like, I mean, the chemistry and things like that. Like, you can disrupt that shit, you know, just for a name. Like,
yeah. Blues right now, though, you just where they're sitting, with the minor league team, the players that have come up and filled the spots and the success that they're having, based a lot to do with goaltending or whatever. But Army's sitting there, fucking, he can sit back in his rocker right now. He don't have to pull no triggers right now. Everything's going good. So
yeah, they're first place. Yeah. Let's not get carried away here. And if they think they can get Tarasenko back,
right?
Why would you go mortgage your future to get another Taylor Hall? Like, then all of a sudden, if they're both in your lineup, somebody else has to go. There's money that has to go out the door somewhere. So now you're weakening your lineup, and I just don't like it.
And you know what? So you're sitting there talking Taylor Hall coming in, and or if you did, but you got the fucking one of the top defensemen in the fucking league needing money here pretty soon. Mm-hmm. So you know that's got to weigh on your mind. Yeah. You know, you just can't go out and grab a bunch of money and bring it in here, and it's just, shit's got to add up at some point in time to fit under a cap. So Army just, he'll be sitting back. If something come at him and said this is it, and it worked. Yeah, does it make his team better? He can run under the assumption right now if it's making his team better or not. If it's, you know, he doesn't have to go out and hope for a better team. He can make his team better. So that's a good position to be as a GM, I believe.
Well, and I think our buddy Bob McKenzie up north there, he said it really well last night. He said, I think Doug Armstrong, if it's a soft trade that presents itself, meaning that Shiro doesn't really want much in return, think he makes the deal. But if it's not a soft trade where he's wanting some serious fucking shit in return, there's no way. And yeah. I'm gonna lean to the side right now to say that deal never comes to fruition.
Yeah,
yeah.
You have a better chance of getting ribs back than you do.
Yeah, I'm available.
I was gonna say, are you ready to go?
I mean, I just got my skate sharpened. That's got to count for something. Now the same skates I wore when I was playing, so they're kind of old, but still.
Well, I mean, you're a big media guy now, big radio guy. Yeah, I mean, you got all kinds of stuff going on out there. I mean, you're it's
big time for sure. Just go,
you know. I mean,
just call me prime time.
You know, I mean, I figured maybe you're getting back in playing shape. Didn't he have a little? Didn't he have a little look about him when he walked in here today? Can be a little bit different.
Dion stole prime times. I'm giving you big time. Okay.
Big time.
All right.
How's that going for you? I mean, you're doing really well. I like listening to you talk about like college football and baseball, and you know,
it's been a lot of work. I'm not gonna lie. Okay. Like going in to talk about hockey.
Yeah.
Not that it's easy, but it certainly is in my wheelhouse. And we talk about that all the time. But to go in and talk about Cardinals baseball, Major League Baseball, NFL football, college football.
Yeah.
Like, this is shit I really never followed. Like, followed, but, you know, like, as I'm eating my breakfast or whatever, it's on, okay, whatever. So I had to do a lot of work to get caught up to speed. And now, you know, I'm finally at a point where I actually have an opinion about it. So it's gotten easier that way because I'm informed enough now, and I'm no expert, trust me. And that's what I'm not what I'm saying. I'm saying I know enough now to be dangerous to where if we're drinking beers, I can tell you about fucking college football.
And you play the expert well. I do. I'll tell you that too.
Well, sure. You got to play that role.
Yeah. Is there any way we could maybe get some curling on there now?
Yeah. Can you talk about some curling?
That'd be hard to tell.
That's Gimby sport. That's Gimby sport, man.
Curling. But you know, like the problem is with that is we got the text line, right? So if I start talking about curling, we'd just get lit up. That fucking text line might crash. Get this guy off the air. I hit with a blow dart. I wouldn't even remember what happened.
Yeah. No, it's good though. You know, it's good. Good for you, man. You're busy.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how you make time for it. You're already too busy to do this or that. But it's good having you in here, though. I don't
know
how often.
It's fun to be back in here.
I don't know how often this will happen, but
well,
it's
once
nice.
We slowed his ass down, it got a lot better.
Well, I'm just saying, man. I just had to. Jesus Christ. Like I said, the laws of physics obviously seem to
get
exist.
Get off the soda,
at certain
man.
Range.
Get off the soda.
I don't drink
water.
Soda.
Get drinking
it's
water.
Tea. Yeah. Tea. I drink tea.
Tea bag.
How about you? How's everything going down in GC?
You know what? Last night.
Yeah, Hindu was in attendance for the old Collinsville.
Yeah, that one was a tie. But last night we had the
AAA. You came back.
Yeah. AAA Blues. We played them last night, and we were up 2-1, and we got scored on with 10 seconds left. They tied it, and they beat us in the shootout. So that sort of sucked. But I'll tell you what. I'm having a – and we don't get along, but I'm having a – I'm watching some of the fucking officiating here at the high school level, and I am not too fucking happy. And I was talking to Rivs on the way home, he'd asked me how he did, so I gave him a call. But I got an official last night. I'm sitting there. We're the home team, and the guy's changing, and he's changing after me all the time. And the guy's got his hand. I'm going. I yelled at the ref. I go, I'm the home team. Do you not get it? Next shift goes out. Same thing. Does the same. I said, I'm the home team. He goes, I know that. I said, well then act like it. And he goes, and he turns around, he tells me to shut up. He screams at me, shut up in front of everybody. So a referee is allowed to sit there and tell me to shut up in front of all the parents and the kids. So now the kids got to do that. So I got a problem with that. You know, if you're gonna hold me to category, hold my kids, which I tell my kids all the time, don't talk to the referees. That's not your job. I'll do that. So that's not. I don't want them doing it. Well, now I got a referee telling me to shut up, yelling and screaming it out so all the parents can do it. I had a problem with that. And it's just like the National Hockey League or whatever, the referee union, and I think these guys around here are in the damn referee union because they're never held accountable. Never. They can have the horse shit game. I've always said this as even watching football and that joke what's going on with their officiating, but they can have the worst game possible and they're not held accountable to nothing. They're coming out, but a player, if he goes out and shits the bed, he is held accountable. And I it just blows my mind how that happens.
Oh. Yeah, I'm... Listen, there's good and bad and everything. My biggest issue is what you said, and you know how I feel about this, is if you're not going to tolerate the athletes or the coaches yelling at you in a certain way because you're at a level of authority and you need respect, I don't believe you can then turn it and take away the respect and yell at the players or the coaches, in this case telling Darren to shut up across the rink. Well, what is that creating? That's creating a standoff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what does a standoff do? Somebody's got to blink, right? And now you've got a problem because you've got a head coach who's got a resume longer than fucking almost anybody.
And he's right.
And he's right, okay? And you got a referee who's in a position of authority that thinks he's right.
Yeah.
So that's just a recipe for disaster. Yeah. And if I can give a word of advice to all officials, if you're listening or you know somebody is a ref, come over and talk to the coach. Make the coach come down to the boards and talk to you face to face. Take away the yelling. You don't want me to yell at you? Then come over and talk to me, because otherwise I got to fucking yell.
Yeah,
because you're across the ice, right? And then don't yell back at me. Skate over. Nobody's going to get mad if you add 3.5 minutes to the game because you're talking about something to eliminate a problem. And to me, that's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
If they come over and talk to you, you can tell them how you're seeing it. He can say, I disagree. You can say, okay, but now pay attention to this, because every time your fucking hand goes up, he's making a change. And he shouldn't be. And that's the way it is. And maybe you're not seeing it that way right now, but have a look. And then maybe he comes back and goes, you know what? Fuck, he's right.
And on a positive note, though, and Rivs has gone through it too, because he's played their team, the AAA Blues, twice. And our 18s have played, and we played, but the gap is closed. And last night, we played them. Last year when we played them, we had close games with them. We actually lost in the shootout also last year, and I had a tie. But we were outshot by about 25 shots. last night we were outshot by four shots. We had just as many scoring chances as they had last night. And so the gap is right there. So it's not – there's 40 kids that are sitting on the ice now that are playing competitive hockey in St. Louis where you don't have to travel. You can do it right here in your own home court here. So – and it's going not just a one age group. Like our younger team, our 14s they're really good at the level they're at. But it's going all the way up to the 18s. So we're having competitive hockey in St. Louis, which is a nice thing to see.
Which would be nice to further it one step forward is to start working together to host big events. Yeah. To not where CarShield's bringing in two teams to play against them and not participating with the other team in town, or it's not like the other team in town brings in two or three teams and they don't include CarShield. Imagine, especially with the complexes we have now for sporting events, for hockey events, work together, bring in teams. You'll have a massive event, and what will it do? It will simply highlight the hockey in St. Louis and the facilities that are available now, and it's going to bring a lot more eyeballs to these kids.
And I think, too, I wish there was, you know, and I unless you're going to do the job, like what Riz was talking earlier about a guy, and I always have comments, but there could be a way that this process works in St. Louis, that they could get everybody going in the same direction, and you could eliminate some teams, and you'd have better house hockey, and there's a big thing out there, and it's hard to get people to do that, and but it would be better for St. Louis. You have more rinks, but you'd have more competitive hockey going on in the city of St. Louis from top to bottom, and people playing in there, which they want. USA Hockey wants people playing, having good games, because they start at the ADM level, playing at your own level. So that would be going on in this town. But, you know, there's some work that needs to be done, but, you know, you need people to sort of step up to the ladder and help out instead of fighting the system, too.
Well, and you know what? I will say this. The baby steps surrounding it have started, and they're headed in the right direction. So we're farther along than we were 3 years ago, and hopefully 3 years from now, we're in a way better spot.
For sure.
Well, that's a awesome amateur minute there for our good friends Nelson Land Services, nelsonlandservices.com, 5-star locally rated company that does tremendous work at reasonable prices. Great family, obviously. I know you guys.
He scored the tying goal last night, so I'm not really a fan of that family right now. So.
Oh, boy.
No, it was good for him, though. Nelly scored with 10 seconds left, so that hurt the...
You guys have gone through that now, especially coaching.
I think I might make Nelly, the dad, Scott, might make him trim my bush.
Oh, no.
It's blocking my Christmas lights.
See how this is going. See, he's back on the podcast.
What are you guys, where are your brains? It's blocking my Christmas. Nelly, I see what you guys did there.
I was laughing at Chrome's. What I was doing. Jesus.
I get it now.
You know, I was going to ask you, though.
As he's watching porn on his computer.
You guys,
weird shit you pull up there.
So many of these
time.
Kids that you guys know, what's that like coaching against them? I mean,
you know what? I don't – to me, it's nothing. I watch them. There's an interest because you know them. And I hope every kid does good. I got no bad. And if there's a kid on the other team and he is that good, I'm happy for it because it's helping St. Louis out. It's helping hockey in St. Louis out. Other kids would get noticed by one kid being really good. So I never get mad that a kid plays well or against my team. It's supposed to, if a kid's playing well against you, hopefully it's making your kids play harder against them, and then it's going to challenge them. And then I'll also, you know, you go into the locker room and say, so-and-so, this is how they play. We got to match their work ethic. We got to match their skill level. We got to find a way to get to them. So those players make your players better. And, you know, last night, Nelly's name was brought up in my locker room. And I said, we got to match him. You know, he's one of the better players. Let's make sure we know where he's at all the time. And I'll tell you what, I will say, I'm just on a thing, though. I got so Lawson was playing, and he's playing defense now for me because I got a guy hurt.
Finally
and,
smartened up.
Yeah. And Lawson, so they got a player, Findler. He's their best player out there. And he come down, and the Lawson twice lit his ass up. And I shouldn't say that because I'm not trying to go against Findler, but Findler's a really good hockey player. And for Lawson playing defense and to step into his position like that, and it sort of helped our team set the momentum. Like, we stood up and boom, this hit was going on and the bench livens up, and you know, it sort of gets your juices. I know it's my kid and I'm hard on my kid, so I like to see him have success sometimes, but it's nice to see some kids when they do some stuff, the kids on the bench, because it reminds you old times when big hits and I know I'm going to scare people by saying that, when good fights would happen, the bench would rise
good
up.
Good block and shots.
Things, you know. It's just there's good moments that bring the whole team together. And so it was, I was happy for the kid because, you know, Yeah, he hears a lot of shit going home on the ride. He bought pods, though. He put them in now, and I don't think he listens.
There's not even any music going on. He just puts them in his ears.
Soundproof. Hey, Dad, for Christmas, yeah, can I get the best soundproof AirPods they have out there?
Now, to piggyback on what Kimby said about, you know, kids playing on other teams and stuff, when I got involved with youth hockey leaving the NHL, the goal was to make hockey in St. Louis better overall. Yeah, and I was privileged to work with some really, really outstanding youth hockey players. We all know the big draft with the Matthew Tkachuk, the Logan Browns, the Clayton Kellers, Luke Cunningham, all those guys that went in the first round. I was privileged to be able to work with those guys while they're at the Bantam age or just before Bantam and then moving upward. But that's kind of where I looked at it and go, you know what? St. Louis has a ton of potential to get to where we're creating more and more of these hockey players. So for me, there's plenty of players that play on other teams locally. I love the kids. Yeah. If they wanted to play for me, I would. They could play for me in a heartbeat. But I watch them play, and I'm almost a fan at the same time. I'm encouraging my team, and I'm coaching, and I'm coaching to win, and I'm coaching to make sure that our kids are successful. But when you have kids that you've coached before, that you work with, ultimately, Kimby, and I can't speak for you, but ultimately, if all these kids get better and they can do something with the sport of hockey, I'm not saying NHL draft, they go to even play club hockey somewhere, and two or three or 10 kids come from, five from the AAA Blues program, five from the CarShield AAA program, and they go off and play club hockey somewhere. That's a success. Mm-hmm. They're going to school. They're playing hockey. Hopefully they had a positive experience. So for me, yes, sometimes it's difficult because there's kids on the other team that are really good players that you wish you could have on your team. But at the end of the day, I'm happy for them. I'm happy for all the kids.
It's awesome.
A little story for Granite City, though, because when we won a championship like many years ago, 15, Granite City High School, but you win a championship, and I got a guy coaching with me now that played, you know, and going on what we were talking about most of the show about the, he says, yeah, you were hard on us, and you know, you talked to us on, and it's been on Twitter a couple.
Yeah, I saw it.
A couple of the guys responded.
Yeah, I know.
And
I know.
But he said, you know what, we were better for it, and I wasn't. But when you're coaching, whenever you're coaching, if you're coaching for the right reason, you know, yes, my kid's involved, yes, but I like to see other kids get successful. It makes me feel, if you're, like last night, if we would have beat the triple, that's nothing to do with me. It really not. I'm happy for the kids because at one point in this town, and I'm not knocking it for the way it was, but AAA Blues was the cat's meow. And if you didn't, a lot of the kids on my team went and tried out for the AAA Blues. And if they didn't make it, then they'd come to me and I would get the process. Now you're showing that you're just as good and you can play with those guys, so it's giving you an opportunity. And that's the part I like about it, because I got 20 kids that they didn't want that I'm going to play for, and we're going to go out and we can play with you guys. And if we would have beat you, that would, like, that's what Rivs did. They won earlier in this year. But if I could beat you, that just helps my kids feel much better about themselves, going, maybe I can play this game, you know.
And the biggest thing for me is I'm hard on my players. The expectations are high, and I've always made a deal with them. And this is figuratively speaking, of course. So let's make sure we know that that's not really what happened. But I always say, I might be the first one to come and kick you in the balls when you do something wrong verbally. Mm-hmm. Of course, that's why I want to make sure we preface that.
Yeah, you gotta preface it.
But I'm also going to be the first one down the bench to pat you on the back or tap you on the head when you do something right. And that's the deal I make with my players. I guarantee you, the moment they do something good, I'm down there saying, exactly, fucking right. Yeah. You know, that's the way to do it. And if they do it wrong, I look at them and say, can't do it. You know that. You can't do it.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And if a kid's, the biggest thing that I've ever done as a coach, and I'll preach it all the time long, as long as you work. If you work, I'll try to help you fix your mistakes, and we'll go over your mistakes. But if you're not working, you're going to make a lot of money. And I can't fix that because the work ethic's not there. But if you want to work, any kid that, because I've lived it myself, you know, to get to a point, if someone told me, I go work on it, I get better. But I can't help you if you're not willing to work. And well, that's in any sport.
Great stuff, boys. This was awesome.
Look, I hope people listen to this one here.
Sure.
And I hope you word it right when your description goes on here, because I hope they listen to it and they get a lot out of this, right? Because this hasn't been our traditional, we've had some fun in here and whatnot, but it hasn't been our traditional breaking down Blues players, that, the other. I hope they really listen and they fucking process what we've talked about here today. Hope they enjoy it.
Well,
it's a weird one, right? Because I don't know how people are going to view this episode.
Well, no.
I hope they like it.
Well, see, and again, that, you know, the fan part, right, is looking at you guys and going, there's something going on right now that's big in the sport if you love the sport. This stuff that's going on, I think, I can't remember which one of you said it, but I think exactly that. A guy played in the league and he says this, and now all of a sudden everybody goes, well, it's got to be right, right? So I think you have to have guys that are willing to step up and say, okay, that's fine, but let me tell you what's really going on from a non-biased opinion. Like, I have no truck in this. I don't. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, I never had anything, you know. So, but let me tell you what I do know. And I think that's why this stuff's important. To be honest with you, I think that's why the fans of the show love both you guys, because you give that insight. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, I want people to know this. I was looking forward to doing this today because I knew this is what it was going to be, because all I can do is read about it and assume based on what I'm reading. What am I really reading? Am I, like your point, is he said, she said, did somebody really experience it? And I also understand that somebody's experiences might be different than yours. But gosh darn it, I got to respect the fact that you had your own experiences, because both you guys lived it for a long time. So I'm excited about it.
The sport of hockey overall should be something that if people play it, it's one of the best things that's ever happened to them in their life. Right. And so many levels, from being a teammate to working hard to respecting your coach to all of these things. And Kimby, I know you tell your players this too. All of those things carry you through life. And that's all I hope, is that people who play the hockey, don't look at hockey as this evil empire. Look at fucking what it does for people and how it drives people to be more successful as individuals.
Yeah.
The biggest thing that I get out of this whole thing that's going on, though, the media jumped on this because of a couple of characters, whatever they were doing, and they jumped on it, and I don't think they're diving into the full story of it. And if the story comes out that Babcock was the way he was, as Rivers describes him, and players will eventually get to the process. Let the process play itself out, and they'll go there, and they'll tell you, and the stories will come, and all of a sudden, one story after another story after another story. Like when Chris Chelios says a story, but when Chris Chelios told it on Spin, there was also some positives he said too. So he didn't really go kick him in the ass all
even
the way down.
Even Franz, no, listen, Mike Babcock was a very prepared hockey coach. He worked extremely hard. He was great at practicing and practice plans, all of those things. Was he a guy you'd go and invite to go have a beer with you in your personal life? No chance.
Yeah.
Would you like him to be your friend? No, you wouldn't.
Yeah. But that's what. But where I was going with it was, so, and these other guys make these, like Crawford, now he's getting pulled away from his job right now. Sutter's not even around to defend himself. And I'm not even a fan of Sutter, but at least let the man defend himself and let people come speak it. Instead, the media, you jump to something, and now this thing is blowing up. And just because of a couple nitwits out there looking to make a name for themselves, basically, is what's going on. And now everyone's got to put answers. So now, but let's go do our work. Now, that's what the people in the National Hockey League at the higher level, they should be going to find out what's going on. Is there a problem? Is there a racial problem going on? Is there abusive problem going on? Go find out. Make sure you get all the facts, though, before you just go shoot your mouth off and say, oh, this is... Because now the NHL has taken a shit kick, and for the last week, everyone's talking bad about how goofy it is, and then it goes back to the tough guys, and they're doing this, and people are just getting thrown into a thing that don't need to be going in there.
Listen, biggest thing is the game just has to continue to evolve. That's why I don't like looking backwards. I like looking forward, because we already know there's things that we can improve on every day, on anything. So let's move forward tomorrow, the day after, and be better every single day. Don't worry about what happened.
You can find bad in everything.
Of course.
If you really want to. And in the end, for some reason, people seem to be more enthralled with the bad.
Well, it's more interesting.
Yeah. Well, we love train wrecks.
That's we do.
That's why we like you.
I know.
No shit.
Well, listen, I appreciate you guys. Want to thank both you guys for coming in. Going to take it over now for a quick report from our friend Dennis Minner, live from Minner Arena. Of course, our friends at Adam Smokehouse. We can't do this show without mentioning our good friends that do the best barbecue in St. Louis, located on Watson Road. Open till 7 on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Don't forget to do the big box lunch orders. If you have any catering needs at all, you could do no wrong by going to Adam Smokehouse. Get over there to Watson Road, see Mike and his staff. They do a tremendous job. Order a Rivs. In honor of Rivs coming back in today, make sure you send him the bill. But enjoy it, folks. It's Adam Smokehouse, St. Louis. Here's your cue. Take it away, Dennis.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for having me back. This is Dennis Minner coming at you live from Minner Arena. And make sure and give me a follow on Twitter, at Minner Arena. And hey, do me another favor right now and go give Adam Smokehouse a follow. That's who we are brought to you by. and they are one of the best barbecue joints, not only in St. Louis, but anywhere around that you will ever have. And right now, backed by popular demand, it went so well over Thanksgiving, they're doing an easy holiday combo pack, smoked turkey breast, 3 pints of sides, mixed green salad, 8 buns, and their amazing, amazing cranberry cayenne pepper sauce for only $52.99. Man, that's going to feed your family. So give Adam Smokehouse a shout. Let them know Mentor Arena sent you, and you want the easy holiday combo pack. But hey, can you guys believe this is not like the December that we were having last year? Right now, I mean, I know everyone, if you're listening to this, you know enough about the Blues to already know that we're first in the conference. And, you know, and I just noticed, I don't think I had realized that Colorado has really crept back up. It looks like they're, you know, a lot behind us, 6 points, but they played 3 games less than us. So if they would win 3 games, they could technically catch up. But, hey, here's what's awesome. Chicago, 17 points ahead of Chicago. Nashville, 13 points ahead. And we are the second best freaking team in the NHL. And that is because I'm back on the Jake Allen bandwagon. We have the best tandem goalie system in all of the NHL. And I am so freaking happy to see that Jake Allen has got his confidence back. It's absolutely unbelievable. And I think that just really helps give Bennington a little bit more lax and chill. And, man, just what a great tandem we have. I am no longer for trading Allen. I am no longer for getting Hall unless someone pulls off just some magic and we get him for nothing for a rental. But other than that, hey, let's talk about Chicago. But we have hurt players. Oh, my gosh. That's all I heard on Twitter was Chicago fans literally having the nerve to gripe that they had hurt players. Are you kidding? Hold my beer. Steen, Tarasenko, Blay, Sonny. We had all those guys out. Here's what the fact is. They suck. That's what it boils down. But you guys were in last place last year, and you came back. Guys, look, here's the thing. The dynasty is over. Chicago dynasty, we've thought it for the last several years, but now we officially know it's dead. It's gone. Hang it up. Guys, the new rivalry for me, and I think the majority of us fans, it's transferred over to Nashville. I mean, watching that game the other night, there was no hate going on. It was just, I mean, just a casual beating behind the woodshed. I mean, there just really wasn't anything to it. So, hey, let's talk about last night. Absolutely, it was a turd sandwich, but oh my gosh, people, relax. It's one game. A bad game is going to happen, okay? We're not going to play to perfection or even play 100% or 50%. So we're just going to suck. It's a 4-game win streak that ended. In the last 10 game, oh, it's a 10-game point on the road. First regulation loss on the road since October 26th. So a month and a half, basically, that we went without losing on the road, it was going to happen. So, yes, I get it. The reffing sucked last night. The missed call, the missed call with Sanford was just, it was embarrassing. Calling Schwartz for goalie interference. I mean, it was seriously, it was like watching actors audition. The Penguins, you ever seen a penguin flop on the ice and dive into the water? It's exactly what they looked last night. They should be embarrassed. It was so bad, Blues Twitter, the official Blues Twitter, even tweeted out several tweets showing how Schwartz barely even touched their goalie, and he flopped back like he, you know, you thought he had broke his neck. So, hey, it big deal. It happens. It's over. Wash our hands. Let's go on. And, hey, hope to see if you're a full season ticket holder. If you're not, maybe this will be one of the reasons that'll talk you into it. But this Sunday afternoon is the annual season ticket holder holiday party. Such a great, great fun event. I'm going to be taking my 7-year-old, and, you know, last year, the area that she hung out in is we actually sat down, and she got to literally make cookies one-on-one with her and Preco and her and Bortuzzo. Shin gave her some tips on shooting, and then she got to hang out with Louie. So, man, just a fun, great family event. Yeah, I know. We don't get the autographs anymore, and that sucks. I get it. But, You know, it's more than just that. And the memories that I'm creating with my kid, with Kenley, is worth any autograph that I'm missing out on. So thank you, Blues season ticket holders, you know, for doing that. And if you see me and Kenley running around, hopefully we'll be making cookies again this year. So if you see us, please come up and tell us hi and give us a big Let's Go Blues and let us know you listen. Again, check out Adam's Smokehouse. Ask for their easy holiday combo to feed your family for Christmas for only $52.99. You won't find a better deal than that, even on a Black Friday at Walmart. So, hey, until next time, let's go Blues.
Great stuff as always. Think I'm going to have to go have some ribs today. If you want to meet me over there, by the time you hear this, I will have already been gone. But you make sure you get over there and have some of that, though. That's Adam's Smokehouse, St. Louis. Here's your cue. Gents, great stuff, man. Can't say enough about SynergyHockeySkills.com and their continued support of our show. Make sure you get on there, SynergyHockeySkills.com. Find out what's going on for the holidays. You might just see your man Ribs with his flow going on the ice, and he's got his game face on. He's out there. He's running it. Special thanks, as always, to NelsonLandServices.com for their continued support of the amateur hockey community. Randy Green with InnovativeCompanies.com. Couldn't do this show without you. Everything you guys doing over there is tremendous. Don't forget their first responders discount. 15% for first responders and military. Just show them the proper ID and you'll get taken care of. That's Randy Green with InnovativeCompanies.com. And, of course, our friends at Patterson Tire and Service, a whole lot more than a tire store. 618-797-6711, located at 3718 Highway 111 in Granite City, Illinois. Call them for a quick quote or get your car out there and get it serviced properly. That's our good friends, the Patterson family. For all of us here at Blues NHL Podcast, let's go Blues!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.